And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
On the day of retribution, I am going to enter the hottest sorority house of UCSB. And I will slaughter every single spoiled, stuck-up, blonde slut I see inside there. All those girls that I've desired so much, they would have all rejected me and looked down upon me as an inferior man if I ever made a sexual advance towards them. While they throw themselves at these obnoxious brutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the kissless virgin today. And it's not a day for laughs or jokes. It's a day for blame. Because there's enough blame to go around. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm going to give you my opinion shortly, but I'm going to ask you to call in who you blame. Do you blame the parents, the therapists, Hollywood's exploitation of women, the pornography industry, social media, reality shows, blondes, radical feminism? Who do you blame? 855-407-2822 is the phone number. It's the Savage Nation. It's the mass killings. Who do you blame? Topic number two is the disclosure of the CIA chief's identity by a mole inside the Obama administration. Was it really accidental? I don't think so. You hear what I say? It's just like the TV show Homeland. There are at least one, if not more, operatives inside the Obama administration working for the other side. Remember they gave away our most advanced drone to Iran? Shall I list the five other things that have been done under this president of ours without a single investigation having taken place? Was the outing of the CIA chief accidental? I don't think so. But I know you're going to want to talk mainly about the kissless virgin. And again, I invite you to call at 855-407-2822. Let me begin with this observation. When he put out his manifesto of who he was going to kill, and it was received by the two therapists that he was seeing on a regular basis, I'll repeat that, this spoiled, rotten, Holly-weird psycho was seeing two therapists, apparently, on a regular basis. This spoiled, rotten Hollywood weirdo, whose father, you know about the Hunger Games, it's a show about genocide, by the way. The father had a hobby. The hobby was photographing naked behinds of women. He would go around the world, apparently, according to what we've read, and he would find willing women to expose their derrières to his camera, whether it be in hotel rooms, alleyways, restrooms. I guess he paid them, I don't know, unless all the women want to be stars behind their derrières. And then he would post his pictures and sell them. That's the father. The father, now, of this psycho did that. So who do you blame? That's point number one. Before you start with the guns, by the way, I should add the list of who do you blame. The NRA, let's add that for the psychos out there. Who do you blame? The NRA, parents, therapists, Hollywood, social media, reality shows, blondes, radical feminists. There's a lot of blame to go around, and everyone listening to this show, The Savage Nation, has their own opinion and wants to vent. And they've been waiting for me to come on the air to give you some of my views, which will be a little unique, a little different than what you may have thought or heard, which I'm going to do momentarily, but I've got to get up to it slowly. There are a couple of facts that I have to put out there. Before he went on the spree of running people over and killing girls and a young man, he shot three Asian men, three young, intelligent students who were his roommates. He killed them, rather. He killed them with a machete and a hammer. Now, I'm not saying that to say that they didn't use a gun and say, now let's let the guns off the hook. Because I firmly believe that a mentally ill person has no right to buy a gun. And I mean that. The problem is, who is mentally ill and who defines it? Is it anyone on antidepressant drugs? That would eliminate about 60% of our police and military. In other words, if you were to say that if you're on an antidepressant drug, you can't own a gun, that's eliminating 60% of the police and military in this country who have been drugged by our medical establishment. So we can't use that as an arbitration. I mean, you can't say if you're on medication, you can't have a gun, as I say, because that eliminates too many people. But remember what happened. He sent out a manifesto to the world. And the therapists allegedly immediately contacted the parents of the psycho and said, have you seen this? That was mistake number one. Now, the question is, why didn't the so-called psychologists call the police? It was clear he was going to kill. Why did they go to the parents instead of the police? The police were closer than the parents who lived far away. They say the parents who were divorced got together and raced down there. Oh, yeah, okay, fine. A little bit too late, obviously. But let's not so quickly blame the parents. I blame the therapist right off the bat. Because they had an obligation to call the police and say, we have a manifesto from a very sick young man. He's going to kill. Get there and arrest him. But they didn't do that. So you have to ask yourself, why didn't they call the police? And my answer is simple. And I don't know if we'll ever get the truth of this, but I would conduct a homicide investigation, and I would include the therapists and the parents and all emails. And in that homicide investigation, I would want to see if there's ever been a communication from either of the psycho's parents which says, under no circumstance are you to call the police for any reason without calling us first. Because that's my guess. They sheltered and protected this spoiled, rotten Holly weirdo from the time he was a child. By the way, he was not working. He was not going to school. He was not a student at UCSB, which is an otherwise fine school. I'm a graduate of UC Berkeley. Believe me, it's a great system to this day if you major in the right fields, in the sciences, not in humanities, let us say, or in something like, well, let's not go down that list. We know there's a lot of fluff courses that mean nothing whatsoever. But the point is, he was not a student, and he was not working. He had no job. He never worked a day in his life. Where did he get the money to buy those three weapons? They're very expensive guns. Well, we found out through investigation, there's an answer to that question. The spoiled Holly weirdo got the money to buy guns from his grandparents, his grandmothers, who were coddling this useless trash. This useless trash was being coddled by the grandmothers. From the day of his birth,
he was told he was great, he was wonderful, he was superior, he was better than everybody, and he was entitled to everything. And that everything, obviously, in his mind included sex from any woman he wanted, which is where we enter the show today. We enter the show on the issue of sex, because at the end of the day, that's all that's on anyone's mind. There's an awful lot to talk about here, but let me say something that I'm not saying for shock value, but I truly believe, and you have to take it for what it is. I'm an older man. And I've been around a while, and I've been around men my whole life. I understand how men think. And I did go to high school, and I did go to college, and I did go to graduate school. And I did hang around with guys who were always looking for women, who never stopped looking for women. And I know how men think. And let me say this to you right now. A lot of men who could not score, so-called, with a girl, became very angry, very frustrated, very lonely. But none of them that I know became murderers. What you do when you want to attract the opposite sex biologically is you appeal to them. And when you find out that you're not appealing to them, what you do is, with that anger and your rage, is you say, I'll show them, I'm going to do something, and I'm going to be really special in sports, or in medicine, or in the law, or in art, whatever, and then all the girls are going to love me because I'm going to show them a special alpha male. That's what you do with that energy of wanting someone from the opposite sex. It's very much like animals presenting themselves with colorful feathers or with shows of force in the world of nature. That's what healthy animals do, is they appeal to the female of the species through their abilities, not by killing the female of the species. Of course, he was a psychotic. We understand that. We've touched on that. No one is saying he wasn't a psychotic. The kid was a psychotic for a very long time and should have been in a mental hospital. Should have been in a mental hospital, not a medication in the streets. But you can thank Governor Brown's father for that, because he was the one who passed the law under the pressure of liberals to close the mental hospitals in the state of California. And then, of course, Ronald Reagan had to close the mental hospitals because the law was passed under Governor Edmund Pat Brown. Perhaps well-meaning, but the liberal establishment was saying, we have to close those evil snake pits. No more mental hospitals. And now we have not only this murderer, but we have streets filled with homeless, most of whom are mentally ill, who belong in mental hospitals. We all know that. By any stretch of the imagination, they're not mentally sane, the homeless. Most of them are crazy, and they're capable of violence. I won't go into the homeless right now, but I want to go back to the main thread of what I'm saying to you. This boy belonged in a mental hospital from an early age. He was a sick boy. And it's sad to think about it, but I really would rather reserve my compassion for the girls he killed and the three Asian men he killed and the bicyclist he crashed into and threw through his windshield and the others who were injured by this piece of garbage. But again, I want to go back to my main point. Many young men between the ages of 16 and 25 are sexually starved and sexually crazy. Some of them are good-looking, strong, virile. They don't know why girls don't like them. I can't explain that. They don't understand why some of the ugly guys or the so-called... Notice what he said? They pick obnoxious brutes. Did you notice that? Did you notice what the psycho said? They pick obnoxious brutes. That's what he said. But then he says, and a little later on in clip number two, I take great pleasure in slaughtering all of you. You will finally see that I am in truth the superior one, the true alpha male. Neil, can we play that little piece? Can we get up to that easel or not? Because it's something to listen to. I know it's hard to listen to, but I want you to listen to it during the show too. I want you to hear, when I watched the video, the 7-minute video of the psychopathic Hollywoodo, I couldn't stop watching it for three reasons. One, because I've never actually seen the face of a real psychotic. I've seen movies about psychos, but they don't match the face of a real psychotic. I've seen actors playing psychotics and trying to act crazy, but nothing is as crazy as a real crazy person. And nothing is as eerie and as frightening and as chilling as this little crazy boy's laugh as he says he's going to kill. Let's just play what we have, Neil, around that piece, even the beginning again on the Day of Retribution.
I take great pleasure in slaughtering all of you. You will finally see that I am, in truth, the superior one, the true alpha male.
Did that laugh? Wait, listen to that. I mean, it's eerie. I mean, Hollywood could not produce a psychotic as real as Elliot Rogers. But Hollywood didn't produce Elliot Rogers, did they? He is flesh and blood, born of woman, the product of a father and a mother, and at the end of the day, he's responsible for his own acts. We all know that. But there's always something that puts somebody in the position of being responsible for their own acts, isn't there? Yes, we all have to take responsibility. That's why there are prisons. That's why there's the death penalty. We understand that. You don't execute the therapist or the parent. You execute the killer or the rapist or the murderer. That's what you do with execution. So they send a message out to others, don't do it or you're going to be executed. But he's dead. And thank God the cops got into a shootout with him. Can you imagine if we had police without guns? Can you imagine if the police had been disarmed the way the ACLU and the anti-NRA types would like in this country? Police without weapons, and they had to run after this lunatic with walkie-talkies and mace. Again, I'll be back in a minute to ask you about this mass murderer, this Hollywoodo. Who do you blame? It's the Savage Nation, be here or be nowhere.
Well, this is my last video. It all has to come to this. Tomorrow is the Day of Retribution. The day in which I will have my revenge against humanity. Against all of you. For the last 8 years of my life, ever since I've hit puberty, I've been forced to endure an existence of loneliness, rejection, and unfulfilled desires.
Poor boy.
All because girls have never been attracted to me.
No wonder.
Girls gave their affection and sex and love to other men, but never to me.
Smart.
I'm 22 years old, and I'm still a virgin.
Okay, that is the sound of a psychotic named Elliot Rogers who went on the murder spree over the weekend. There's so much to talk about. Again, we're going to get to your calls, but it's going to take me a while because I've asked you who you blame, and believe me, there's plenty of blame to go around. I personally say the blame legally belongs to the therapists. If, God forbid, anyone listening to this show had lost somebody in this rampage or was injured by the psychotic, I'll tell you right now, a good lawyer could sue the therapists for not having called the police.
this, and there's only one thing you can do. And the reason I'm doing this, I want the therapeutic establishment to understand that they have a responsibility, and they're not fulfilling that responsibility. The only reason they wouldn't have called the police after receiving this YouTube tape, and instead they called the parents, is because they want on an order for the parents, in my estimation, just guessing now, don't ever call the police without calling us first, because we want to protect our precious little son. Our precious little boy, who has a new BMW, who's never worked a day in his life, who gets money from grandma, etc. So they say young men have sexual frustrations. That's what adolescence is. It's been written about from the beginning of recorded history. Poetry was written by sexually frustrated men who wanted to appeal to the female of the species. They try to appeal through their beauty, through their sensitivity, through their poetry. Gather your rosebuds while you may. Do I have to go back as far as that? Do I have to read the poetry? I'm not going to bore you with that. Men take that sense of insecurity, that desire to be popular, so to speak, and they channel it into something productive, whatever it may be, whatever your field may be. And they want everyone to understand how great they are. And in that way,
meet a member of the opposite sex. And in sane times, they got married and had children. In sane times. That's before social media came along and destroyed the world. And now everyone thinks they're a star behind their bars. If they have four bars, they're a four-star success story. If they reduce, the coverage is reduced to one star, they're only a one-star personality that day. Everyone's a star behind their bars.
Join the Savage Nation.
Girls, all I've ever wanted was to love you and to be loved by you. I wanted a girlfriend. I wanted sex. I wanted love, affection, adoration. You think I'm unworthy of it. That's a crime that can never be forgiven. If I can't have you, girls, I will destroy you.
So this is the kind of mind that becomes a mass murderer. If he was a little more together, he would have become a politician and then become a mass murderer along the lines of Pol Pot, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin. But he was an impotent, kissless virgin. And so the most he could do was first slaughter three slim Asian roommates, men, by the way, with a hammer, knock them out, and then cut their throats with a machete. Three Asian boys. I mean, it's heartbreaking. They were engineering students, bright kids, unlike this useless piece of garbage that should have been in a mental hospital, who wasn't even in school, supported by his parents and the grandparents, and thinking he was a movie star, and that blondes in particular should have thrown themselves at him. And the question today on the Savage Nation is, on the kissless virgin, who do you blame? There's a lot of blame to go around, as I said to you. But the main point that I want to make today is that many young men have similar emotions, but they don't go over the edge and become psychopathic killers. I think I said this several times in my 20-year radio career. It's not what you think that will make you insane. It's what you do that defines the difference between sanity and insanity. I learned that a very long time ago. Because many of you have thoughts that you think indicate that you're crazy, but they don't. It's whether you act on those thoughts. And so many things come in a human's mind, especially if you have a vivid imagination, you can imagine almost anything. Of course, if you become obsessive and you start looking like you're moving that direction, then you are in real trouble. But that's not the point of today's discussion. The definition, or that which defines the difference between sanity and insanity, in my opinion, is not what you think, but what you do. So many boys get frustrated, lonely, angry, start to hate women, and then they get over it. And then he realizes it's not going to get him anywhere. Hatred isn't going to get a girl to like you. He says, none of you like me. Well, women are not stupid. Women are not stupid, are they? Intuitively, they knew that this little perfect-looking jerk with the puff lips, the metrosexual boy. Some girls like that look, by the way. There's a whole group of girls out there worshipping him all of a sudden. He's like a little Justin Bieber-esque without the tattoos. But nevertheless, a lot of girls think that's cute. But somehow he couldn't find any girls to like him. because they sensed he was sick. Like some dogs can smell cancer in a person, girls can smell sickness in a man. They can smell evil in a man. They can smell anger in a man. They can smell craziness in a man. And so he never found the girl because they were smart enough to say, ugh, I don't know, there's something about him I don't like. That's woman's intuition. That's how the species goes on. I mean, women are not stupid just because they reject the guy who's allegedly good-looking with a new BMW. But that's not the point, again, of what, that's not the point I'm trying to make. What I'm saying is many men feel what he felt up to a certain point. And they go and say, okay, now I'm going to get the women by doing X, Y, and Z. I will play basketball in the park, and I'll throw the best hoops, and all the girls standing on the sideline will watch me, and they'll like me. I will be the best skateboarder. I'll be the best skier. I'll be the best ball player. I'll be the most mathematically inclined man in the class, and then the nerdy girls with the glasses who are beautiful underneath the glasses will love me. I'm the greatest artist in the art school, so instead of killing women, the guy paints crazy great paintings, and the girls say he's a great artist. Do I have to spell it out for you? That's what makes civilization move forward, is a desire, an impetus to prove yourself. Where do you think the impetus comes from in productive individuals? With some, with the drones, it's just a need to survive. So you go to work and you make a living and you go home. But those who actually produce something of value in society, something beautiful, something exceptional, they're trying to prove something. They're trying to make a mark so that people notice them. And then they're admired, they're looked up to, whether by women or by men, but they're looked up to through what they do, through what they create. You understand that that's a normal instinct? And so you could channel this these feelings of loneliness and rejection into productivity and creation if you're normal. But if you're a sick person who has been coddled your entire life, told that you're great, look, you know, I did a parody years ago about Rat Boy. I don't know, many of you go back on my show years ago. Remember the boy who joined the Taliban and shot one of our CIA officers? And I did a parody about Rat Boy growing up in Marin County, California, in a special little school. When I showed him as a little boy, where the parents come home and the father says, "Ooh, what's that, Johnny?" And Johnny smeared his feces on a wall. And the mother intervenes in that parody and says, "No, no, John, that's not feces. Why, that's as good as a Chagall or a Picasso, not our Johnny." In other words, their parents are so given to coddling their children that they would do a thing like that. I mean, maybe that's an extreme example, obviously, but don't think it's too far from the truth. So everything this little jerk did was look, oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're special. Oh, you're great. Oh, you're superior. You're not like the other boys. You're not a thug. No, 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 little boy. You're the best. You're better than everybody. You're superior because I'm a Hollywood director. You're superior because fill in the blank. Everyone will love you because you're so great. And this is what the result is, the kind of upbringing he had. But I don't blame the parents. I'm sure their hearts are smashed, but not as smashed as Ms. Weiss's parents. Or as Mr. Martinez, who gave the speech against guns, but nevertheless you can understand his broken heart. And everyone has someone to blame. The parents, the therapist, Hollywood, social media, reality shows, blondes, radical feminism. And everyone's calling now on the Savage Nation. And I want to leave you with the thought that it's not what you think, it's what you do that makes you sane or insane. Okay? And I'm going to take your calls momentarily. But before I do, I want you to understand he also mimicked a movie called American Psycho. He wanted to be a star. Kill a virgin, acted out film role because he felt like a failure in reality, says criminologist. Listen to the trailer for that movie from years ago, American Psycho. Listen to this.
Patrick Bateman has a busy day. 12:30 power lunch.
Another martini, Paul.
3:45 board meeting.
What do you think?
Oh, very nice.
7 o'clock friendly takeover.
Patrick, you're so sweet.
9:15, make a killing.
What do you do?
I'm into, murders and executions mostly.
American Psycho, rated R.
So there's a deep relationship between the psychotics who run Hollywood, the drug addicts, the sex maniacs who run the image-making machine across the landscape of our minds and things that happen in this world. And you have to understand that. Now, just because his father worked as assistant director for the Hunger Games, which involves teens killing teens, by the way, did you know that? Let me repeat that. Psycho's father worked as an assistant director on the show The Hunger Games, which involves genocide of teens killing teens. Perhaps that planted a seed in him to go on the rampage. Right? But you could also say his father's success in Hollywood. His father was a good-looking, a tall, macho-looking Englishman. Good-looking man, by the way. And, you know, Hollywood Central casting, good-looking father. And this boy was a cross between the mother and the father. The mother was an Asian lady. And he was much different in a phenotype than the father. He was slim. He was refined-looking. He didn't have any of the ruggedness of the father. And I believe his father's success and his father's machismo could have heightened the crazy boy's feelings of inadequacy. But he became a classic rampage killer. Young, male, isolated, sexually frustrated. And, top it off, because of the parents, he had a victim mentality. I think it's the parents who did that to him. Because in the video he says such things as, you forced me to suffer all my life and now I'll make you suffer. And he blamed all his sufferings on everybody else. And he felt that his violence towards others was a righteous thing to do. Obviously, he hated all of humanity. And obviously, also, he was deeply psychotic. And to me, at least, the therapist who sent his manifesto to the parents should have called the police and said, arrest him immediately, he's going to kill. But they didn't. And I want to make that point. And if you quote me on anything I say today, anywhere in a blog or anywhere, say, Savage says, therapist to blame, because it was up to them to call the police and say, one of our patients, who we see twice a week, sent out a manifesto saying he's going to kill. Go and arrest him right now. But they didn't. They called the parents. And the reason they did, I'm guessing now, this could only come out in a court case where there's discovery. The reason they did not call the police, I would guess now, I'm only guessing, is because there was a standing order from the parents never to call the police without first notifying them. Because they didn't want the precious little boy to get into trouble. And on that note, I'm going to take a pause and take your calls on the Savage Nation. Who do you blame is the question. The callers are all over the map. Let's go to the internet where Michael is calling. Michael, go ahead, please.
In order to have friends, you have to be a friend. If you want to have a lot of friends, be interested. If you want to have no friends, be interesting. This is a person who wasn't a victim. He was a person who had what might be called in an earlier literary age, hubris. He believed that everything was an entitlement to him, and he didn't have to give in order to get it. In other words, he's a taker. He had what we might call adulation addiction, the same way that Anthony Weiner had it, the same way that Bill Clinton had it, he has it, and they don't believe that they are someone who should have someone love them for what they give, but they want someone to love them for what they take. And that's what made the girls run away from him.
Wait, hold on. Are you a therapist yourself?
I'm a psychologist, and I've done therapy. And I'll tell you that psychology therapy was the problem here. It wouldn't help him one bit, because in order for somebody to be helped, especially get the fact that he was 8 years old, what do you do, play therapy with a kid like that? No. In order for somebody to be helped, he has to know that he has a problem, and he has to want to change it. This person believes everything was coming to him, so nobody could possibly convince him otherwise, and that's why a person as evil as this, therapy cannot help. He had
interesting. Wow, you're a very brilliant analyst, my friend, and you really stand apart from the therapy establishment, who says nobody is to blame for anything they do.
That's right, and not only that, but what would be a more appropriate way to measure this person is not on any antisocial scale, although of course he was the ultimate in antisocial behavior. It would be a depravity scale. That's where one would have to measure him. Because this person, you just look at his manifesto. You don't need to do any analysis on him. All you got, if you have any background in literature, just look at the things he says in his manifesto, and you can explicate why he does the things he does.
Michael, have you written any papers on the on related to this?
I've never written a paper on it, but I know that certain people are evil, and that therapy is not.
Yeah, you know, this is a very important point, and it's a topic for another show. But I have said that before, which is that some people are just born evil. I've seen it in children. I've seen children who were mean from the time they stood up. They would hurt other children for no reason whatsoever. There are children who are just born bad. And yet, the liberal manifesto is such that they believe everyone is born equal. Everyone is capable of doing great things. It's utter rubbish. It's nonsense, Michael.
No, people have a tendency to be very selfish when they're born. It's all about me. But in life, after they go through stages of socialization, then they understand that it can't be all about them. It has to be about other people.
In other words, a kid also has to be knocked down a little bit in order to learn to stand up. The kid never had to work a day in his life. Isn't that true?
That's right, and that's why when you see this kid going around in a BMW and priding himself on the fact that he doesn't have to drive a clunker like some of his friends do, you can see that these people were buying his love, if they even wanted his love.
Yeah, they spoiled him rotten, in other words, and turned him into a crazy person. I would say that they aided and abetted his inherent insanity. Would you say that's correct?
Absolutely right, but I wouldn't say he's insane because...
Okay, you would say he's not insane. What would you say?
I would say that this person is an adulation addict. He said, you know why the teachers are throwing themselves at 13-year-old boys? It's because they are an adulation addict. They want to get the biggest thrill they can from having given that child a thrill. How else did that child ever have what he really would like to have unless they gave it to him? So they'll say, I'm going to show him a time, and he'll never forget me. That's
why.
Wow.
Hey, Michael, you're a pretty brilliant analyst. You really are. Do you have a practice or what?
No, I gave up psychology years ago. I went into sales.
Well, you and I could talk for another hour, and I hope you'll call the show again tomorrow because, Michael, I'm going to cover this topic for a few days. There are too many threads leading to this child's insane, this man's acts that we have to go down these threads to find out what's wrong with our society. The time is 48 minutes after the hour, running late. It's the Savage Nation. We're talking about the mass murderer in Santa Barbara. Who do you blame? I'll be right back.
Girls, all I've ever wanted was to love you and to be loved by you. I wanted a girlfriend. I wanted sex. I wanted love, affection, adoration. But you think I'm unworthy of it. That's a crime that can never be forgiven. If I can't have you, girls, I will destroy you.
You know, the mass murderer is, that's whose voice you're hearing. The more I look at his face, the more he reminds me of someone, and it's Michael Jackson. It just dawned on me. He has the look of the metrosexual, almost plasticized, almost surgically redone metrosexual face, the puffed lips, the girlish nose. There are girls who like it. By the way, there are girls who like that look. And luckily for them, they never met the psychopath. You might say, you could also argue, I mean, I can hear a liberal arguing tomorrow in the state of California that because of this, we're going to offer prostitutes to all young men in colleges to reduce their sexual frustration. The state is not going to pay for hookers. That could come out from the state of California tomorrow. I mean, what, you think it's beyond the mind of the liberal?
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The day of retribution, I am going to enter the hottest sorority house of UCSB. And I will slaughter every single spoiled, stuck-up, blonde slut I see inside there. All those girls that I've desired so much, they would have all rejected me and looked down upon me as an inferior man if I ever made a sexual advance towards them. While they throw themselves at these obnoxious brutes, I'll take great pleasure in slaughtering all of you. You will finally see that I am, in truth, the superior one, the true alpha male.
You are listening to the voice of an abject, an absolute psychotic. And we're asking you, the audience of the Savage Nation today, who do you blame? Because there's enough blame to go around. And I'm asking you, who do you blame? Do you blame the acts of murder that this kissless virgin inflicted upon innocent young girls and young men? Do you blame the NRA, the parents, the therapists, Hollywood, social media, reality shows, blondes, radical feminism? What made this psycho tick, who I said, strangely enough, looks like Michael Jackson? I'm the first one in the media to make the observation. I'm sure before it left my lips, it was all over the internet. But I did make that observation for no reason in particular, other than his looks are eerily like that of Michael Jackson. They look sculpted and plasticized. The lips are that of a girl. And there are many girls who like that metrosexual look, and yet they wouldn't go near him because the girls have radar. Girls, the way girls survive as the so-called weaker sex, which of course is no longer true, but let's say through time. How do you think women have survived through time from cave days till now? By having the sense to know who to avoid. So all these girls he wanted, he couldn't get because they knew he was nuts. They knew something was wrong. They sensed it. They could smell it. They could smell he was a sicko. Like, get him, ugh, I don't know what's wrong with that guy. Yuck, get him away from me. But the parents ultimately bear a great deal of this responsibility because they spoiled him rotten. There's no question about it. After all, he was not working. He was not even a student at UC Santa Barbara. Don't make that mistake. He was not a student. For whatever that word is worth anymore, he was not a student. He was just a hanger-on living in the neighborhood to meet girls. And the parents gave him the BMW. They gave him the money. The grandparents apparently gave him the money to buy the guns. And again, I say the therapists are responsible ultimately for the homicides because they didn't call the police. They got the manifesto. Instead, they called the parents. And the parents probably had a standing order with the police, with the therapist. You are never to go to the police without going through us first. So the therapist committed a great crime here by not going to the police. Don't blame the police. I saw some sick defense attorney over the weekend on the TV. Right away, he couldn't stop shooting his mouth off against the cops. What did he want the cops to do? They went to his house. And what? If they had arrested him, the same psychopathic defense attorney from probably Harvard or NYU would have sued the police for violating the kid's civil rights. They want it both ways, these sick lawyers. No, I don't blame the cops at all. They did the best they could do. Cops are not psychologists. Psychologists are psychologists. And they had an obligation to report this to the police and say, arrest him immediately. He's going to kill. But they didn't. And who do you blame then? The other topics are the who outed the CIA chief in Kabul after our commander-in-chief went over there for his photo op. He got in trouble Friday for the VA scandal. And predictably, his brain, Axelrod. All right, you're going over to Afghanistan tomorrow. What? I got to play golf. No, you're going to Afghanistan. Oh, I don't want to go, man. It's a nice weekend. It's the Memorial weekend. We have a plan. And Reggie and I are going to play golf all weekend. You're going to Afghanistan. That's all there is to it. Just dummy up and you're going over there. I don't want to go. You're going. That's it. You're in trouble with the vets. We need the swing vote of the moron families. We need the swing vote of the military. You lost them all with the VA scandal. You own it. There's nothing you can do about it. I don't want to go. You're going. So they put him on a plane, fly him off to Afghanistan, do a stage photo op that Lenny Riefenstahl couldn't have done better. Those of you know history. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. Lined up all of the black soldiers in the front row. I couldn't believe what I was watching. Then the women soldiers. Could you believe the insanity of this administration, how patently absurd they've become? Goes over there, does the photo op wearing the bomber jacket, just like Bill Clinton did, another great commander-in-chief. And all of a sudden, we find out the weekend he was there. They out the name of the CIA station chief in Afghanistan, putting not only him at risk, but his whole family here in the United States. And they say, oops, oops, it was an accident. Well, I don't believe it was an accident, because we've had other, quote, accidents from the sleepers inside this administration. I hope someone listening to this show works for the government. I hope someone listening to this show who's supposedly monitoring me will learn something from me. You are looking right in the face of a double agent working inside this government, or several, and you don't even know it because you've been taught not to look at it. How blind can you be? We send in the most advanced drone that we had to Iran and said, whoops, that was an accident. Someone outs the CIA station chief's name. Whoops, it was an accident. No, sir. No. You see, I did something interesting this weekend. In addition to watching the story emerge about the crazy boy in Santa Barbara, the evil crazy boy in Santa Barbara, and feeling sick over it, actually. I was sick over it. And I watched the tape and listened to him and saw the face of psychosis, which I never really saw before. Whoever sees a real psychotic, we all think we know the face of psychosis from movies. But we don't really know what a psychotic is. We only know what an artful version of a psychotic is. If you watch that 7-minute video, which I've been playing on the show since the beginning of the show tonight, you'll have heard his actual voice. That's who the psycho is. And the laughter and the statements. And we've been talking about it. But I was working on finishing my book, The Coming Civil War. 85,000 words. Been working on it for well over a year. The publisher needed it by this morning to get it over to the next stage of production. And every day that I worked on it, from Saturday to Sunday, something new came out to dishonor this administration. Something new came out to trigger my fears that something horrible is going to happen in this country. So in the middle of all of that, I got stung by bees. In the middle of all that, I broke out in a rash all over my body. In the middle of all of that, I've been dealing with pain like I've never had in my life from bee stings and finishing a book and thinking about doing the show. In fact, the minute I hang up the microphone at the end of the show today, I'm rushing to the dermatologist because I cannot manage the bee stings anymore. The pain is overwhelming. Apparently, I'm super sensitive to bees because this is like the leg looks like elephantiasis. My left leg is like an elephant tie. And the bees went right for the soft spot. So that's what I'm dealing with, and I'm dealing with the psycho at the same time. I couldn't wait to do the show today because the topic is so compelling to me. This kid symbolizes everything that's wrong with America, all in one case. The blame runs across the entire spectrum. Nobody is blameless in this situation. Of course, he's ultimately responsible. I get that. But so is everyone else that I mention, every other group and every other personality. The feminists are responsible. Social media is responsible. Hollywood is responsible. The therapists, the parents, the NRA, there's a little responsibility everywhere. Do you know that? And now I'll open it up to you on the Savage Nation. Who do you blame? 855-400-7282. I haven't taken any calls except one, which was a winner. It was a therapist on the internet who said he was evil, pure evil. He was made evil, and you can't treat an evil person. That was a real therapist worth something. Unfortunately, the psychiatric establishment today has reached the point of little utility because they blame nobody for anything. And if they do blame anyone, it's never the person who perpetrates the problem. It's always somebody else. So we have a nation of victims who all want to be movie stars. And everyone's a star behind their bar, as I said in the last hour. If you got 4 bars on your iPhone, you're a 4-star movie star. But if you go into an area of bad reception and you only got 1 bar, your self-esteem collapses that day because you can no longer be a big movie star across the bars. Reno, Nevada on KKOH in Reno. Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks so much, Michael. I was this kid. I grew up in a very privileged family in La Jolla, California, Pacific Heights, went to private schools. I wasn't kissed until I was almost 22, but I never killed anybody, and I've been happily married for 34 years.
Well, let me go back. You say you were this kid, you were privileged, but in your childhood, did you show signs of psychosis?
Never.
Okay, but maybe he did. Maybe he did, and the parents wanted to look away from it because they couldn't face it.
Well, Michael, and I think that's a very good point. Ultimately, I was calling to say this kid is solely responsible, but based upon the things that you've just said and your intro with him on the tape, this kid was obviously such a nut job that that's truly, I think, a case of not guilty by reason of insanity.
But wait, Chris. The parents had him in therapy since he was 8 years old, before he was pubescent. He obviously did things as a child that scared the heck out of everybody. Maybe he killed animals. Maybe he tore the wings off butterflies. We don't know what he did.
did. I'm kind of surprised he wasn't a serial rapist, because this guy wasn't looking for a relationship. He was looking for sex. And
But he was impotent. You see, my suspicion is that he was impotent on top of it all. In other words, the reason he couldn't be a rapist is because he probably couldn't perform as a male.
You're probably right. But
and by the way, there's a lot of rage attached to impotence, incidentally. And if you look into the textbook on psychosis of this nature, I think you'll find a direct connection between the inability to perform as a man and this kind of violence. In various forms, by the way. In some cases, the male does find a mate. He has intermittent sex with her, but he turns his impotence into rage against her. In a more advanced case, he turns his impotence into becomes a wife beater. In this case, he just became a mass murderer.
My ultimate point here. Ultimately, in the time since I've been on hold to talk to you, I've changed my mind, because when the therapist got that document, if I understand this correctly, when they got that document, that's the equivalent of yelling fire in a theater. They should have called the police immediately.
And so you agree with me that they failed to live up to their own code of ethics?
Couldn't agree more.
All right. Well, we'll pause on that note, because it's my opinion that the dust will settle. There will be a lot of talk about this for months to come. And the parents of those who were killed or injured have every obligation to seek retribution upon this family and upon the therapeutic establishment for having let loose this maniac on the streets. That's my opinion. I'll be right back.
After I've annihilated every single girl in the sorority house, I'll take to the streets of Isla Vista and slay every single person I see there. All those popular kids who live such lives of hedonistic pleasure while I've had to rot in loneliness for all these years, they've all looked down upon me every time I tried to go out and join them. They've all treated me like a mouse. Well, now I will be a god compared to you. You will all be animals. You are animals, and I will slaughter you like animals. And I'll be a god, exacting my retribution and all those who deserve it. And you do deserve it, just for the crime of living a better life than me. All you popular kids, you never accepted me. Now you all pay for it.
I'm playing this for a couple of reasons. I want you to hear the voice of a true psychotic. You have to understand that we've never really met psychotics in our life. At least most of us haven't. Maybe you've had one in your family, but unless you're in the therapy business, you never come across true psychotics. You see artistic renditions of them in movies. This one is a true sicko, a truly sick man who should have been institutionalized from childhood. Do you know that he's been in therapy? Did you know he was in therapy since he was 8 years old? Since 8 years old, the crazed killer who murdered six in this quiet California university town, starting with three Asian boys, 20 years old, Chang Wan Hong, 20, an engineering student from Taiwan, slayed with an axe or with a machete. There were two other Asians who were killed by him using a hammer and a knife. And then he went out and he went on his rampage and went after the girls, saying, who was the alpha male now? But there's a timeline to this. Minutes before opening fire in central Isla Vista, this crazo emailed his manifesto to 30 people, including his therapist, parents, and former teachers. They think he may have already killed the three young men in his house by then. What happens next is the important point. One of the therapists immediately telephoned Roger's mother, Chin Roger. And he said, have you gotten Elliot's email? I think you should see it. That was mistake number one. He should have called the police and said, go to this kid's house, find him, and arrest him. Because that time was 9:17 p.m. on Friday, 13 minutes before the massacre began. Had the therapist called the police in Isla Vista and said, find him, he's in a black BMW, all points bulletin, he's going to kill, they could have stopped the slaughter that followed. But the therapist called the parents. So then the mother calls her husband, who's out to dinner, and they both race from L.A. to Isla Vista in separate cars. You know how far away that is, an hour? We learned today that this child, this little crazy man, rather, had been seeing therapists since the age of 8, including virtually, quote, every day while at high school. What does that tell you? What does that tell you, that he was in therapy every day of his life while in high school and since age 8? He was a disturbed person. He should have been committed. He never should have been out in the streets. This is all part of the liberal edict that there should be no mental hospitals. I disagree entirely. We should reopen the mental hospitals. There are plenty of people who belong in them. And there's no need for any jokes right now. No, this is not a day for joking. You're listening to The Savage Nation. If you care to chime in, I'm afraid there are no open lines to The Savage Nation. But I have all these articles, including this horrible video on michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back to take your calls right here.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
If you're a casual talk radio listener who just stumbled upon The Savage Nation, welcome home, because you're on the best radio talk show in the United States of America. I'm Michael Savage. I've been on the air for 20 years, maybe new to your market, maybe you're new to talk radio, but what you are hearing today from me is probably something you haven't heard from any of the other media outlets, and probably some of the calls you heard are shockingly authentic to you, because, again, we have unfiltered calls on The Savage Nation in the sense that we look for people who really know what they're talking about. This just came out from the local Santa Barbara, I guess, little throwaway newspaper. He says, "My life turned into a living hell. No girls like me, and I hate them all for it." That we know. But listen to this. Roger took his misogynistic rantings to other websites as well, including a bodybuilding forum where he also wrote the following. He said, "I am a drop-dead gorgeous, fabulous, stylish, exotic gem among thousands of rocks." He then went to a chat site called Wizard Chan that was apparently dedicated to sexual virgins. There is so much here that I can't cover it in the next few seconds. Weightlifters are often very insecure, well-known. The bigger the muscle, the smaller the, let's say, inner man. Generally true. The bigger the biceps, the smaller the sense of self. In fact, guys who work out incessantly to build bigger muscles and bigger muscles and bigger muscles are often terrified inside, scared little children inside. That's well known. I learned that when I was 16 and going to a gym to work out, when one loudmouthed girl in Jamaica High School put me in my place. I'd come back from the gym with my muscle shirt, my V-shirt, pumping up my arms. I never got that big. And I tried to show off to her, and she said to me, "All weightlifters are insecure." She cut me to ribbons. Well, I didn't become a mass murderer as a result. I still went to the gym, but she gave me a lot of thought over the next 30 years, I'll tell you that. I went on to other pursuits in my life other than weightlifting. I mean, I still pump iron during a show, by the way. I still, to this day, have dumbbells in the studio. I guess I'm really insecure, but it also keeps my arms from turning into mud. But there are no jokes to be made today. This is not a day to joke. I mean, I can just imagine the parents of the girls who were killed. Maybe the parents of the young Asian men from Taiwan and elsewhere who are heartbroken. They lost their real prizes. They lost real prizes. The parents from Taiwan whose son was hit with a hammer and his throat cut with a machete by this piece of garbage. They're the ones you should be crying for. But I want to again go back to one main point, and I got such great callers. I haven't gotten to any women yet, and I'm going to, on who you blame and what you think, because this is an amazing story, and I don't think it's going to end tomorrow. It's going to grow. How anyone cannot see the magnitude of this story and how it impacts virtually every aspect of our society is beyond me. To me, this story of the madman in Santa Barbara touches on almost everything you can talk about, and you can blame anybody for it, as I said before. I want to go back to the impulse of insecurity that all men will feel in their adolescence. If you go back to Goethe, G-O-E-T-H-E, the German writer, The Sufferings of Young Werther, what was that literature about? It was about the sufferings of an adolescent man in Germany at that time. The great German writer Goethe, who's not taught anymore because he spoke more than 150,000 words of English. Apparently, English literature is only taught if you speak less than 50 words of English and you have jewels in your teeth. Then it's considered great American literature. But while this German writer Goethe was writing his great masterpieces, He wrote The Sufferings of Young Werther, which typified the loneliness and the angst of the adolescent male. That's what it was about. But he didn't go out and become a murderer. He didn't go out and become a murderer. Young Werther didn't become a murderer. People become different things. Some become this, some become that. They go out and try to appeal. Go to a zoo, for God's sakes, and see what animals do to display before the female in order to attract the females. Do you think a female just goes up to a male and says, oh, I like you? Well, maybe today they do because they're all in a different world than the natural order. They all become destroyed by the Hollywood mentality. And I won't go into that and get too vulgar here. But by and large, in the animal world, the male displays and the female selects the male with the greatest display, whether it be a peacock with the most magnificent display of feathers, or the bear who is a better killer than the other bear and can chase the other bear away. You say, well, we're not bears and peacocks. Well, you're not too far removed. Let me remind you that we're all still the eagle. There's a little bit of the bear and the wolf and the eagle and the poodle and the mosquito in all of us. Don't think we have transcended the zoological order, because we haven't. And in case of most of us, we really haven't. And in the case of American society and where it's going, we're descending and devolving more rapidly than you may imagine. But let's put all of those other unnecessary social observations aside for the moment. And I want to repeat again that the normal male feels these things, and then he decides to display himself to attract the girls. Some do it in odd ways. Some become introverted and they become writers, or they become introverted and become poets, painters, or they become comedians and act out, and the girl says, he's funny, I like him. I like funny guys. I like the athletic guy. I like the jock, so she runs off, she marries the jock. That's how it works. It's what society is about. It's what humanity is about, for God's sakes. But someone has to teach these idiots that. Someone, maybe there was no father around for him. Obviously there was no father around. Where was the father? Where was Mr. Hollywood director? Where was the father? Where was he? Well, the father had a little hobby. He went around the world taking pictures of women's behinds and sold the pictures on the internet. You hear this? I mean, I saw this in the newspapers from England over the weekend. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. He'd go up to women in different parts of the world, say, you got a nice, you know what, can I take your picture? He'd go to a hotel room, take the picture, then sell them on the internet. Now, what if your father was doing a thing like that? What if this kid needed a father to talk to? He had no father. No father, nobody. So there's a lot of blame to go around. And then the therapists are useless. Absolutely useless. And don't think that I'm putting down the whole therapeutic establishment, because that's nonsense. Therapists play a very important role, but unfortunately, their philosophy is linked too closely to liberalism, where there is an excuse for everything everybody does and everyone else is at fault except the person themselves. That's my problem with therapy. Not therapy itself. Therapy is a fabulous endeavor for a person to pursue. But there must be morality attached to therapy for therapy to have any value whatsoever. But when therapy became detached from morality, it became a useless tool for society. In fact, a dangerous tool for society, which leads me back again to not only morality, but God. Apparently the father did a movie about the non-existence of God. Did you know that as well? For those of you who want to know another little element to this, obviously this kid was an atheist. He came from a family with no belief system other than in self. Narcissism, however you want to put it. So he followed the rules. He became the ultimate narcissist. And guess what? That didn't work. The girls sensed he was creepy. He went up to them, oh, I'm perfect. Get out of here. Take your BMW and take a ride, Johnny. You know, who wants anything to do with you? You're a sick little twerp. Get away from me. Take your muscles and go. Obviously, he got rejected plenty because the girls feared him. Girls are not stupid. That's how they survive. I'm talking to the guys now, women, you'll have to forgive me. It's an inside thing now. But the women understand creepy guys. They just go because he looks like Michael Jackson, drives a BMW. What does that mean? So now let's go to some of the callers on the Savage Nation. Sexual identity is the issue. It is a problem. I haven't brought up something else that's obvious to me, which is that when men hit the stone wall with women, some of them decide that they're gay or they want to be gay for a number of reasons. That's not a value judgment. That's just a plain old observation. Not every male starts out saying, I am gay and I want to be gay. A lot of men become gay because they cannot find women to have sex with, or they've tried it and it didn't work. And then they find it's a freer, quicker, you know, outlet for them in that other world, and they go there. It's a sensitive topic, but it's a real one, and gay men know I'm right, intuitively. That's why they know exactly what I just said is true. There's different reasons for everything, and, you know, not every answer is in that statement, but it certainly is part of the sexual identity and sexual release issue that we're talking about. Now let's take some callers. Larry on WABC in New York, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you know, you and I are both, I think, very big supporters of the police. I mean, I am, and I think you are as well. But they have some fault here as well. The lunatic himself said if the police would have come into my room and looked around, what was going to happen wouldn't happen.
Let's pause right there, because I heard a defense attorney on television say the same thing. I disagree strongly for one reason. They had no pretext on which to do a search and seizure. They would have violated his Fourth Amendment. His rich father would have gotten a loudmouth, filthy lawyer from L.A. who would have sued the police department for violating his kid's privacy, and you know it.
Incredible. I never thought about that. But
no, think about what I just said. Listen, these double-talking defense attorneys have it both ways. First, they say they should have gone and found his guns. They're responsible. Then if they would have gone and found the guns, the father would have said, you had no right to go in there. Everyone has a right to own a gun. I'm suing you for violating my precious little brat's Fourth Amendment rights. So, no, listen to me, Larry. Think it through. Search and seizure. You had no right to go into his bedroom. He didn't do anything.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so there it is. That's why I'm successful in talk radio. It's not by accident that I rose to the pinnacle of success in radio and in broadcasting and in writing. I got to tell you the truth. I have to say it to you, or else you're not going to know it. If I don't tell you who I am, you're not going to know who I am. Are you going to read about me and think that what they write in Wikipedia is who I am? No, I am who I am because I am who I am, and I have an insight sometimes that supersedes that of the legal profession, the mental healing profession, etc. In other words, my insights can be useful, and I hope they're useful today. It's not just for fun that we're doing this show. There's a reason for doing this show. It's a letting of pain in this country right now. I need to hear from a woman, though. Who is the best woman caller right now? KSFO in my hometown of San Francisco, Rebecca. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. Yeah, there's a great book out there you guys should read. It's called The Sociopath Next Door, and in there the statistics are 1 in 25 people are a sociopath. The inability to have any feeling, they have no empathy. I think only 3% of those can turn violent. That's why it's so hard to catch any of these guys before it happens.
Let me interject. Apparently he was taken to parties and he would sit and stare at people. He wouldn't even talk to them. And then he blamed everybody for not talking to him.
Exactly. Yep. Well, they're a narcissist, but they want the attention even by being quiet. This guy.
Yeah, in other words, that's another method that some use, which is the silence of, wow, you're so interesting. You're saying nothing, man. You must really be brilliant. Oh, what's in your mind? Oh, I'm just so, you're a really cool guy. You say nothing. You must really be cool.
Yeah, they're very good at it. But remember also, they're very, very, very good liars. I don't blame the police officers at all. I read that guy's 139 pages. He's a victim. He covets. It's almost virtually impossible to figure out which one of these narcissists will turn violent.
No, I agree. The police have no blame whatsoever for the reasons I mentioned. They could not go into his bedroom. They had no cause to do so. And the parents, the rich Hollywood parents, would have sued the father, would have immediately sued the police department for violating his Fourth Amendment rights to search and seizure.
Absolutely. So there's, you know, I don't think you'll ever catch all of these guys beforehand. And you can have some weirdos out there saying they're going to go kill, but would actually never.
Well, why did this massacre guy get a gun? How was he able to get a gun if he had been in therapy since age 8? Why were there no red flags up about him?
So it depends on what kind of therapy. We don't know what he said. They're good liars. We don't know whether he ever copped to the therapist that he was going to kill anybody or himself. What's the therapist going to do at that point? What are you going to do? They're really good liars, and they get the attention of the therapist. You think they're going to turn themselves in?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, you know, a couple of things come out. The schoolgirls that he blamed for his hatred of women, I mean, think about that one. Think about blaming women who are sexy for his crimes. Think about how crazy that really is, Rebecca.
Oh, but we don't know his mind. He didn't say it. I mean, at the end, when you see him up there in Santa Barbara,
No. He said that he had a first crush when he was 10 years old, and she teased him when she was 10. Would you believe it goes back to when he was 10 years old? He was already showing signs of psychosis?
Was it on an outward sign, though?
Yes. In fact, they've tried to interview the model who this madman claims was his first crush and who teased him when she was 10. She refuses to give any interviews. She is currently a model because he's trying to blame her for rejecting him at age 10. Now, if I were the parent of a child like that, I definitely would have made sure he had no guns, and I would have made sure he had a supervisor around him at all times. He would not be allowed to live around a college town alone. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Joy.
I hate all of you. Humanity is a disgusting, wretched, depraved species. If I had it in my power, I would stop at nothing to reduce every single one of you to mountains of skulls and rivers of blood. And rightfully so. You deserve to be annihilated. And I'll give that to you. You never showed me any mercy, and so I will show you none.
It's chilling to listen to a true psychotic. But this is what he put up on YouTube, his retribution videotape. And I have a terrible fear that the therapist knew that this was in him and did nothing. I have a terrible fear that because of the culture of therapy to begin with, there is no blame. Everyone's a victim. And that the worst thing you can do is ever go to the police, because then you're violating your oath to the God of liberalism. And that's why we're talking about who do you blame. And I'm asking you again to call the show on that one, because I'm waiting for the greatest callers, and we've had pretty good ones so far. KKOH again in Reno, Nevada. Matthew, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I believe in the state of California, they have the most restrictive gun laws in the nation, and they couldn't prevent one psychopath from buying 3 handguns. If he's on antipsychotic medications and been in therapy since age 10, that's an automatic rejection.
Apparently, they claim he rejected his medication. He wouldn't take it. He thought he was even too good for medication. This is the Savage Nation. We have another big hour across America in most markets. Unfortunately, not all. Be here or be nowhere. Give me 15 minutes.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I've waited a long time for this. I'll give you exactly what you deserve, all of you, all you girls who rejected me and looked down upon me and, you know, treated me like scum while you gave yourselves to other men. And all of you men, for living a better life than me, all of you sexually active men, I hate you. I hate all of you. And I can't wait to give you exactly what you deserve. Utter annihilation.
Okay. It's hard to listen to, but we've been doing it for 2 hours now. The transcript of the maniac's own voice and laugh is chilling. And the question really of the day, which I'm not changing, of the kissless virgin, is who do you blame? Radical feminists, blondes, reality shows, Hollywood, social media, the cops, therapists, parents? I say blame them all. Blame them all. Now, the thing is this. The son of a Hollywood director who worked in The Hunger Games, and The Hunger Games is about the genocide between one group of young people and another. Let's start with that. Where was the father when this lunatic was posting these YouTubes? Apparently, but they were going on for quite a while. Apparently, the lunatic posted at least 22 YouTube videos, which indicated he was crazy and going to hurt people. Where was dad? Taking pictures of girls' behinds around the world, I guess. How come the son of the Hollywood director didn't go to dad and say he feels like he's crazy and he's going to hurt people? How come dad didn't do anything to stop him? apparently the lawyers now are blaming the cops because he said in his own YouTube video, quote, I'll silently start killing as many people as I can around Isla Vista by luring them into my apartment through some form of trickery. He said he would knock them out with a hammer and slit their throats. So this was not just a random killing. This was a calculated first-degree murder spree to begin with. And he killed the first three boys with knives. Cheng Wan Hong, 20. George Chen, 19, both from San Jose. That's in my neighborhood. And Weihan Wang, 20, of Fremont. Can you imagine what grief the parents of Hong, Chen, and Wang are feeling after this? Can you imagine the senselessness and the sense of heartbreak that they're feeling? Never mind this idiot and his parents. Why did he kill them? For what? No reason. What did they do? Anyway, the shooting rampage starts at 9:30 in the last 10 minutes. In the end, the lunatic shoots and kills three others. Injures 13 more, either with gunshots or the car he uses as a battering ram against bicyclists and skateboarders. But he had three semi-automatic handguns along with 400 unspent rounds in the car. Thank God the cops got into a shootout with him and killed him. Remember, they shot him first in the hip, and then they say he shot himself. But had the cops not had the training and the guts to engage this piece of garbage, he would have gone on the rampage and killed and killed and killed and killed. So the heroes here are the cops. Never forget that. They're real heroes. You didn't pull out a gun and get into a gunfight with them. It was the sheriff's deputies, maybe Santa Barbara police. I don't know who got into the gunfight. They're the heroes. But, of course, the filthy lawyers are trying to turn them into the reason that he did this. You know what the lawyers are doing. They're absolving the parents of any guilt whatsoever. They're absolving the therapists of any responsibility whatsoever. And they're trying to blame the police, who now they're saying the police should have known. They should have gone in his bedroom when they visited him. But as I pointed out in the last hour, they had no cause to violate his Fourth Amendment rights, which we all know about because of the liberal attorneys in this country and judges. I mean, you could see a car with cocaine falling out of the trunk. If a cop sees a car that's rear is hanging down and there's a bag dropping white powder on the street and they stop that car and find cocaine in it, because of the psychotic lawyers and judges in this country, the liberals, that evidence will likely be thrown out as a violation of the Fourth Amendment, illegal search and seizure. I've seen the case. It happened in New York City years ago. That's thanks to the liberal attorneys who've wrecked the legal system. But because of that, the cops had no right to go into his bedroom. They went there, they visited because they were alarmed, you know, a few weeks before. And he had the guns in the bedroom in a drawer, and he said, God, he was afraid they were going to find them, but they didn't. Because had they gone into his bedroom, and had they found the guns, and had they arrested him, I can guarantee you this thing's father would have sued the cops for violating his Fourth Amendment rights, and would have sued the cops for disturbing a child who was innocent and only had guns to protect himself, and sued the police for disturbing a poor boy who had mental issues, which were exacerbated by the fascist police. So, you know, walk in the moccasins of the other man, especially the cop in this country, who has the toughest job in the world, as far as I can tell. And thank God that they got into a shootout with that lunatic, or else more kids would have been dead. But who do you blame? Let's take the calls because they're fantastic, and I want to get some of the women up there who've been holding a long time. Donna on WMAL in Washington, D.C., welcome to the Savage Nation. Who do you blame?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Savage. I blame the parents first and foremost because they enabled him and they were negligent. And then the rest I blame is the lovely pop Hollywood culture that we've all been saddled with, the political climate that we're all saddled with, and lastly, but not entirely complete, would be the lack of the institutions, as you reaffirmed, and I'm with you 100% on this, and everything we're dealing with now, unfortunately, is agenda-driven.
Everyone is curable. Some people are psychotic and dangerous, and they belong behind locked cages. That's where they belong, where they can get the care that they need. They don't belong on the streets, whether it be homeless people or lunatics like this hanging around college campuses looking for girls. WJR, Detroit, Cliff, you're next up. Who do you blame?
Michael, I blame probably the parents and the psychologists. You know, being a law enforcement officer and also a CIT, which is a critical incident training officer, you know, when I go to a call for a suicidal person or someone with a mental issue, you know, when I get there, I got to assess the situation. I don't hear from their mouth or a family member on the scene that they're suicidal or show any kind of signs of suicide or homicidal tendencies. I'm not going to pink slip them because I don't want to violate their civil rights just like I wouldn't want mine violated.
So you agree with me that if the police had gone into his bedroom when they visited him and found the guns and arrested him, they would have been sued?
Oh, I agree. I mean, you got to have good cause. You know, I mean, I take civil rights, you know, really personal. You know, I if you start violating anyone's civil rights because you feel that you have that right to do so, then it's only a matter of time before someone violates yours. You know,
I get it. But because of the liberal interpretation of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, it seems that lunatics have more freedoms than the rest of us do.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times you get these calls and they come from third parties. And
that's right. You could have people who don't like you. They could call and say Joe Blow is dangerous. Go arrest them. And then you have to go visit Joe Blow, and Joe Blow doesn't even know why you visited him, because his neighbor turned him in for no reason other than he's jealous of him. Then we live in a fascist police state. I get it. That's why I say the cops are absolved from any responsibility in this case. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. I blame the parents. I blame the therapist. I blame the kid. He did it. But there's a lot of blame to go around. There's more blame than that. You know, the gun issue is certainly something that you don't want to avoid here. It's the 400-pound gorilla. There's something wrong with this society that a kid who's in therapy since age 8 can have 3 guns. I am sorry. Age 8, therapy, and he can still own 3 guns? How is that possible? How in the world is that possible? Now, I understand what you're going to say. If you start using the litmus test of whether you're in therapy as to whether you qualify to own a handgun, then a good percentage of the police wouldn't be able to own handguns, because many of them are in therapy for reasons that are not to deal with psychosis. And then you're on the road, of course, to the end of the Second Amendment. I understand how that works as well. But nevertheless, you have to start somewhere. And I go wherever my thinking takes me. I don't really have any checks and balances in my thinking, which is why I make so many friends and enemies on a daily basis. Now, of course, the lawyers are saying that the parents of the killer are feeling pain that's overwhelming. The lawyer is saying that the family is struggling to understand why their crazed son went on a rampage. The lawyer is saying that they're devastated that they didn't stop it. Well, gee, my heart breaks for them. But I really reserve my sympathy for the girls he killed and the young boys he killed. They're the ones I really have sympathy for, and their parents' hearts are broken. I have no sympathy whatsoever for the parents of this child. They should have intervened earlier on. They shouldn't have coddled him. They spoiled this Holly weirdo from the time he was in a cradle. They told him he was wonderful, he was great, you're terrific, you're better than everybody, you're superior, don't worry, you'll do well in life. I mean, come on, you know how this works. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. It's a guesstimation. It's the innocence that I reserve my sympathy for, not the perpetrator. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Hi, Elliot Roger here. This is my last video. It all has to come to this. Tomorrow is the day of retribution, the day in which I will have my revenge against humanity.
Join us.
But in those years, I've had to rot in loneliness. It's not fair. You girls have never been attracted to me. I don't know why you girls aren't attracted to me, but I will punish you all for it. It's an injustice, a crime, because I don't know what you don't see in me. I'm the perfect guy. And yet you throw yourselves at all these obnoxious men instead of me, the supreme gentleman. I will punish all of you for it.
Okay, that's Elliot Roger, the mad killer, who grew up in the epitome of narcissism and evil, Hollywood. It's almost impossible to come out of Hollywood other than crazy. But this is an extreme example of it. I mean, we see it every day in the activities of the girls and the actors, the Alec Baldwin crazies, you know, the cursing people and expecting to get away with it, their daughters exhibiting themselves on Insta media, whatever they have. Sean Penn's insanity, in my opinion, being a very wealthy, successful man, hating America, attacking America, supporting communism. Okay, so we know Hollyweird and what it is, but this is a case now that we must face because there's a lot of blame to go around. The only people who have no blame are the police. Point blank, categorically, none whatsoever. You can't blame them at all. Now, even Fox News, because they become a shame unto themselves, is now running a whole segment on did the police drop the ball. Shame on Fox News, but I don't expect much more from Murdoch's outlet than attacking the police. They are not the reason that this happened, because had the police gone into the psycho's bedroom, his rich father from Hollywood would have gotten a great lawyer from Hollywood who would have sued the Santa Barbara Police Department for violating his civil rights, search and seizure in particular, as I said twice today on the show, and they would have won a hefty settlement against the police department for hurting the poor boy's self-esteem. After all, he was a victim. He was in therapy. He was sensitive. They scared, blah, blah, blah. You know how it works. You know how sick the courts are and the judges. So the cops went as far as they could go. They have no blame whatsoever. But that doesn't stop Fox News from saying the police missed the chance to stop the rampage. No, if there's any blame, number one, it's him. Number two, it's the parents for not having committed him from an earlier age. And number three, it's the therapist. In my opinion, that's my opinion at this stage of the conversation today. But there are other people that you, other aspects of this discussion. And many people have been holding for 2 hours. You know, 855-407-282, WMAL in Washington, D.C. Tim, go ahead. Who do you blame? Tim, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. KSFO, Jenna, you're on the Savage Nation from San Francisco. Go ahead, please.
At age 15, I entered the University of California, a bright but extremely troubled young woman. Having a childhood of social isolation and being the weird girl. By the time I was 16, I was acting out in such antisocial ways that the university threw me off the campus. This was
But that was then. Today, if you acted out in that manner, you'd be the homecoming queen.
That's right.
And Nancy Pelosi would have you to a private residence for tea, because after all, you would be a disruptor to Nancy Pelosi. But let's move on. So what happened?
My parents did exactly the right thing. They put me in an institution, and I was so fortunate to have been put with a psychiatrist who was an old-school psychiatrist who combined the idea of therapy, medication, and morality, just like you said. And it was through that and through a very long process that I was able to recover and able to function in society. It's been 30 years now, and I'm most...
Anna, let me ask you something. Does listening to his voice frighten you in any way?
I understand. The sad part about it is it frightens me, and I understand exactly what he was thinking. And that
I hear you. I hear you. So in other words, there may be thousands, if not more, of people who think the way he does, but they haven't yet gone over the edge.
Absolutely.
But you're afraid that there's a lot more Elliot Rodgers out there than we may think.
Well, the problem is our society, the boundaries of our society have deteriorated so much that it's like the gates are coming open. Back in the day when I was 15 and dangerous, there were things to both help me and things to keep me from.
Yes, there were. In other words, there were more boundaries than there are today. Today, the gates of hell have been opened by the permissiveness of our society. To summarize your point in the best way I can, and I thank you for calling. We have only 36 seconds in this segment before we go to break. And on the Savage Nation, all of these articles I've been quoting, including a picture now, we just came out of the girl, the beautiful blonde girl who started this degeneration of his mind, is on my website. It happened when she was 10. He's blaming this young girl who now works in the gym because she rejected him when he was 10 years old. I'm sorry, the parents are responsible. You have a kid like this, you lock him up, and you throw the key away. You don't buy him a BMW and rent him an apartment.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855.
Hi, Elliot Roger here. Well, this is my last video. It all has to come to this. Tomorrow is the day of retribution. The day in which I will have my revenge against humanity. Against all of you. For the last 8 years of my life, ever since I've hit puberty, I've been forced to endure an existence of loneliness, rejection, and unfulfilled desires.
Poor boy.
All because girls have never been attracted to me.
No wonder.
Girls gave their affection and sex and love to other men, but never to me.
Smart.
I'm 22 years old, and I'm still a virgin.
Okay, that is the sound of a psychotic named Elliot Rogers who went on a murder spree over the weekend. And there's so much to talk about. I've asked you, who do you blame? And believe me, there's plenty of blame to go around. I personally say the blame legally belongs to the therapists. If, God forbid, anyone listening to this show had lost somebody in this rampage or was injured by the psychotic, I'll tell you right now, a good lawyer could sue the therapists for not having called the police. And there's only one thing you can do. And the reason I'm doing this is I want the therapeutic establishment to understand that they have a responsibility and they're not fulfilling that responsibility. The only reason they wouldn't have called the police after receiving this YouTube tape, instead they called the parents, is because they were on an order for the parents. In my estimation, just guessing now, don't ever call the police without calling us first, because we want to protect our precious little son. Our precious little boy who has the new BMW, who's never worked a day in his life, who gets money from grandma, and et cetera. So as I say, young men have sexual frustrations. That's what adolescence is. It's been written about from the beginning of recorded history. Poetry was written by sexually frustrated men who wanted to appeal to the female of the species. They try to appeal through their beauty, through their sensitivity, through their poetry. Gather ye rosebuds, why ye may. Do I have to go back as far as that? Do I have to read the poetry? I'm not going to bore you with that. Men take that sense of insecurity, that desire to be popular, so to speak, and they channel it into something productive. We enter the show on the issue of sex, because at the end of the day, that's all that's on anyone's mind. There's an awful lot to talk about here, but let me say something that I'm not saying for shock value, but I truly believe, and you have to take it for what it is. I'm an older man, and I've been around a while, and I've been around men my whole life. I understand how men think. And I did go to high school, and I did go to college, and I did go to graduate school, and I did hang around with guys who were always looking for women, who never stopped looking for women, and I know how men think. And let me say this to you right now. A lot of men who could not score, so-called, with a girl, became very angry, very frustrated, very lonely. But none of them that I know became murderers. What you do when you want to attract the opposite sex biologically is you appeal to them. And when you find out that you're not appealing to them, what you do is, with that anger and your rage, is you say, I'll show them, I'm going to do something, and I'm going to be really special in sports, or in medicine, or in the law, or in art, whatever. Then all the girls are going to love me because I'm going to show them a special alpha male. That's what you do with that energy of wanting someone from the opposite sex. It's very much like animals presenting themselves with colorful feathers, or with shows of force in the world of nature. That's what healthy animals do, is they appeal to the female of the species through their abilities. Not by killing the female of the species. Of course, he was a psychotic. We understand that. We've touched on that. No one is saying he wasn't a psychotic. The kid was a psychotic for a very long time and should have been in a mental hospital. Should have been in a mental hospital, not on medication in the streets. But you can thank Governor Brown's father for that, because he was the one who passed the law under the pressure of liberals to close the mental hospitals in the state of California. And then, of course, Ronald Reagan had to close the mental hospitals because the law was passed under Governor Edmund Pat Brown. Perhaps well-meaning, but the liberal establishment was saying we have to close those evil snake pits. No more mental hospitals. And now we have not only this murderer, but we have streets filled with homeless, most of whom are mentally ill, who belong in mental hospitals. We all know that. By any stretch of the imagination, they're not mentally sane, the homeless. Most of them are crazy, and they're capable of violence. I won't go into the homeless right now, but I want to go back to the main thread of what I'm saying to you. This boy belonged in a mental hospital from an early age. He was a sick boy. And it's sad to think about it, but I really would rather reserve my compassion for the girls he killed and the three Asian men he killed and the bicyclists he crashed into and threw through his windshield and the others who were injured by this piece of garbage. I think I said this several times in my 20-year radio career. It's not what you think that will make you insane. It's what you do that defines the difference between sanity and insanity. I learned that a very long time ago, because many of you have thoughts that you think indicate that you're crazy. But they don't. It's whether you act on those thoughts. And so many things come in a human's mind, especially if you have a vivid imagination, you can imagine almost anything. Of course, if you become obsessive and you start looking like you're moving that direction, then you are in real trouble. But that's not the point of today's discussion. The definition, or that which defines the difference between sanity and insanity, in my opinion, is not what you think, but what you do. So many boys get frustrated, lonely, angry, start to hate women, and then they get over it. And then he realizes it's not going to get him anywhere. Hatred isn't going to get a girl to like you. He says, none of you like me. Well, women are not stupid. Women are not stupid, are they? Intuitively, they knew that this little perfect-looking jerk with the puff lips, the metrosexual boy. Some girls like that look, by the way. There's a whole group of girls out there worshipping him all of a sudden. He's like a little Justin Bieber-esque without the tattoos. But nevertheless, a lot of girls think that's cute. But somehow he couldn't find any girls to like him because they sensed he was sick. Like some dogs can smell cancer in a person, girls can smell sickness in a man. They can smell evil in a man. They can smell anger in a man. They can smell craziness in a man. And so he never found the girl because they were smart enough to say, ugh, I don't know, there's something about him I don't like. That's woman's intuition. That's how the species goes on. I mean, women are not stupid just because they reject a guy who's allegedly good-looking with a new BMW. But that's not the point I'm trying to make. When he put out his manifesto of who he was going to kill, and it was received by the two therapists that he was seeing on a regular basis, I'll repeat that, this spoiled, rotten, Hollyweird psycho was seeing two therapists, apparently, on a regular basis. This spoiled, rotten Hollywood weirdo, whose father, you know about the Hunger Games, it's a show about genocide, by the way. The father had a hobby. The hobby was photographing naked behinds of women. He would go around the world, apparently, according to what we've read, and he would find willing women to expose their derrières to his camera, whether it be in hotel rooms, alleyways, restrooms. I guess he paid them, I don't know, unless all the women want to be stars behind their derrières. And then he would post his pictures and sell them. That's the father. The father, now, of this psycho. There are a couple of facts that I have to put out there. Before he went on the spree of running people over, killing girls and a young man, he shot three Asian men, three young, intelligent students who were his roommates. He killed them, rather. He killed them with a machete and a hammer. Now, I'm not saying that to say that they didn't use a gun and say, now let's let the guns off the hook, because I firmly believe that a mentally ill person has no right to buy a gun. And I mean that. The problem is, who is mentally ill and who defines it? Is it anyone on antidepressant drugs? That would eliminate about 60% of our police and military. In other words, if you were to say that if you're on an antidepressant drug, you can't own a gun, that's eliminating 60% of the police and military in this country who have been drugged by our medical establishment. So we can't use that as an arbitration. I mean, you can't say if you're on medication, you can't have a gun, as I say, because that eliminates too many people. But remember what happened. He sent out a manifesto to the world, and the therapists allegedly immediately contacted the parents of the psycho and said, have you seen this? That was mistake number one. Now, the question is, why didn't the so-called psychologists call the police? It was clear he was going to kill. Why did they go to the parents instead of the police? The police were closer than the parents who lived far away. They say the parents who were divorced got together and raced down there. Oh, yeah, okay, fine. A little bit too late, obviously, but let's not so quickly blame the parents. I blame the therapist right off the bat because they had an obligation to call the police and say, we have a manifesto from a very sick young man. He's going to kill. Get there and arrest him. But they didn't do that. So you have to ask yourself, why didn't they call the police? And my answer is simple. And I don't know if we'll ever get the truth of this, but I would conduct a homicide investigation and I would include the therapists and the parents and all emails. And in that homicide investigation, I would want to see if there's ever been a communication from either of the psycho's parents which says, under no circumstance are you to call the police for any reason without calling us first. Because that's my guess. They sheltered and protected this spoiled, rotten Holly weirdo from the time he was a child. By the way, he was not working. He was not going to school. He was not a student at UCSB, which is an otherwise fine school. The point is, he was not a student, and he was not working. He had no job. He never worked a day in his life. Where did he get the money to buy those three weapons? They're very expensive guns. Well, we found out through investigation, there's an answer to that question. The spoiled Holly weirdo got the money to buy guns from his grandparents, his grandmothers, who were coddling this useless trash. This useless trash was being coddled by the grandmothers. From the day of his birth, he was told he was great, he was wonderful, he was superior. He was better than everybody, and he was entitled to everything. And that everything, obviously, in his mind, included sex from any woman he wanted, which is where we enter the show today. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400.
Monday, May 27th, 2014, as we roll into the end of hour number three in the Savage Nation here in the news headlines. All day long, we've been talking about the mass murder in Santa Barbara. There are so many opinions on it, and everyone has one. I mean, the only question that enters your mind is, why did he do it, and who do you blame? And who do you blame? I mean, who do you blame? You blame who? Hollywood? Do you blame the parents? Do you blame the police? Do you blame the psychiatric establishment? Do you blame the kid? I mean, I know who I blame. Everyone. Because let me say this to you right now. And this is something that others haven't seemed to touch on yet. I don't think anyone has. It's easy to say he was crazy, which he was. And I've often said to you the difference between a sane person and an insane person is not what they think, but what they do. Many young men are sexually frustrated. They could be good looking and this and that, and they don't know why the women don't like them or why they can't get women. And they turn that into hating women. They become total misogynists. They start slurring women. And there are many different ways they can go with that. If they're really crazy, they hurt somebody. If they are so sexually charged but they can't find sex, some of them will become same-sex activists, meaning they'll become gay because they resent women for denying them sexual pleasure. The healthier men turn their desire for women into achievement. They become good at something, and they say, I'll tell you what, if I become good at fill-in-the-blank, sports, entertainment, doctor, you name it, then maybe the women will love me. Isn't that true? That's the healthy outlet of wanting something. The pure hatred of women that's exhibited by this man, though, is pure psychosis. And who do you blame is another question. Well, you can blame the social media where they live in fantasy. I truly think that it's the psychiatric establishment's fault because once he put out the manifesto of what he was going to do, they then alerted the parents and said, have you seen what the boy sent has written? Well, the parents, they say, raced down to Santa Barbara. It was too late. Why didn't the shrinks call the police and say, arrest this kid, he's going to do something? And my guess is, and I don't know if this is true, the parents had a standing order with the therapist. By the way, this nut was seeing two therapists. Two, not one. Two. The therapist had a standing order for the parents to never, ever rat him out to the police without going to them first. That's my opinion. So you can blame anyone you want. Just don't blame the police. The police are not allowed to arrest somebody just because he writes something. By the way, That is unless, you know, unless they want to do it on trumped up charges. The fact of the matter is that's one big story that we've talked about. There are other stories. By the way, on the killer, he used a machete and a hammer to slaughter his Asian roommates. He killed three Asian men before he went out and slaughtered the women and drove into crowds. He also mimicked American Psycho. He wanted to be a star. The killer virgin acted out the film role because he felt like a failure in reality, says a criminologist. By the way, the father that I mentioned sells art photos of women's behinds as one of his hobbies. Did you know that? Well, there's so much to this story that we're not going to be putting it away too quickly. Another big story is the treason within the Obama administration. That some dare not call it treason. I understand that. They're saying there was an accidental disclosure of the identity of the top CIA station chief in Afghanistan by the Obama administration during Obama's photo op over the weekend. This is a one too many accidents. Somebody in that administration is acting on behalf of our enemies. And I can list three or four things that were done over the last few years that are really suspicious. You remember the top secret drone that was, quote, accidentally sent to Iran? You remember that? What other intelligence failures have we missed? What other accidents have occurred under Obama that have compromised American national security interests? Why did someone out the CIA assets in Afghanistan? Why is no one demanding an investigation of who did it and an immediate firing? In another age, a person like this would have been given a life sentence. By the way, do you remember the Valerie Plame situation? They made a movie about it, and now they're saying nothing because the vermin in the media are in the pocket of Obama. It's sickening. There's an awful lot of stories out here. There are so many others, I can't touch them. I covered most of them on MichaelSavage.com. Even Obama's liberal base is bailing on him. Did you know that? They're bailing on him because he's not left-wing enough. Did you hear that one? Even Obama's liberal base is bailing. Oh, yes, one other thing. I found that this morning. It's everything you feared and worse about our military-industrial complex. Retired military officers are deeply involved in the climate change movement, and they've set up companies that work for them that are positioned to profit from climate change hysteria. Headline, retired military officers poised to profit after Pentagon's alarmist climate change report. It's all in there. It was written by the Washington Times. The whole thing is a scam, and now the generals are in on it. The whole country is melting down under this corrupt regime. This is the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening.